So I'll be with you in just a moment. Let me just finish this rousing round of Ms. Pac-Man. All right, there goes. Gaming is a big business. According to the Entertainment Software Association, the average player is 33 years old and he's been playing for 12 years, not in a row, though sometimes you may wonder. Anytime one activity takes up that much time and also actively seeks to redefine reality, you have to think there have to be some psychological costs. Dr. Gerald Block has been thinking about this. In fact, he wrote an article in the American Journal of Psychiatry suggesting that pathological computer use, or internet addiction, as it's popularly called, though not as favored by him, but pathological computer use should maybe be a diagnosable disorder included in the Diagnostics and Statistics Manual, which psychiatrists use to define who has a mental illness. Dr. Gerald Block joins me now from Portland, Oregon. Hello, Dr. Block.
Hello. Glad to be here.
So how long have you been thinking about the idea that maybe playing video games or going online a lot is a little different from, say, playing soccer a lot or playing the guitar a lot?
I've been looking at this question for probably about a decade now. I was trained as an industrial engineer and had a lot of computer access in that profession, and I noticed it even then. In a different way, of course, but thought it was a problem even then back then.
What do other psychiatrists not get about internet addiction?
First off, there's almost a cross-cultural aspect to this. Psychiatrists are people-oriented, and we're probably the last ones on the boat in terms of accepting or adopting new technology, and that's tricky. The second thing is a lot of the activities online have their own very particular rules and structure about them. If you're talking about World of Warcraft, for example, as a game, and you compare that to, another game, Guild Wars or Second Life, which is more of a virtual environment, you're talking about very different rules, a very different structure, and it's difficult as a psychiatrist to come in and really understand what they're talking about. As a third issue, it's just often patients don't want to talk about the things that are very gratifying, even if they're problems.
Because you understand references and because you understand video games, can you think of a time when you were maybe treating a patient that your knowledge of video games helped you treat that patient?
Well, I can't talk about specific cases with my patients, obvious reasons, but I can tell you things that sort of have blown my mind in terms of some of the phenomena that you see. One example that's written widely about is a man who was playing a game called Online Eve, or I don't know if it was a man. Who knows? I mean, that's one of the questions around this whole area is you're never quite sure what you're dealing with and who you're dealing with because
right.
It's all behind the mask of the computer. But a person was playing Online Eve, and they became very successful and were probably the most successful person in this particular game. So they became a target for other players, and one player took out what's a contract within the game, which, you know, literally they wanted the character killed. And what happened was a group took up that contract and spent an entire year plotting, infiltrating, getting the alliances with this individual. And then one day they just took him for all $17,000 that he had, destroyed everything they could of his online life. And, you know, that's all interesting in terms of when you think of that of the game. But then I come back to the real life where you have this individual who has this other existence, and then one night, overnight, he's just lost $17,000. He's realized he's been betrayed by all his friends in this universe and been humiliated and destroyed. Yet he goes to work just like any other day. How does he talk about this with anybody? How does he relate this, in a sense, a trauma to anybody else? It gets very tricky and from a psychiatric standpoint, very interesting.
When you explain this to your fellow psychiatrists, or do they want to know about it, or do they want to say, oh, it's not so much different from any other kind of a compulsion or addiction we've always treated?
Whenever I've presented on this topic to other psychiatrists, they're blown away. I mean, it's like this whole other world that they don't understand is being brought in front of them. Often they talk about their patients and how they some have been discussing these sorts of issues, and they just haven't gotten it. The most significant response has been from the public and from people who often parents who are searching for answers of how to address this problem. I would be very, very careful about advocating for cutting the cord. And the reason why is that the computer's used for 30 to 40 hours often for entertainment purposes, and that's a large block of time that they're going to fill with some other activity. The second reason is that the computer becomes a significant other. It becomes a relationship in their life. So if you cut that relationship, they will be very angry.
Do you find you could successfully treat people so that they could just pull back the amount of time and intensity spent playing one of these games? Or is it more like an alcohol addiction where I think most, well, at least the 12-step programs tell you there's no such thing as just curtailing it. You got to cut it out completely.
My efforts have been trying to reduce the use but not curtail it completely, in part because patients very rarely want to stop it entirely. I mean, it's very difficult to get them to that place. I can say that if you eliminate use for, let's say, a week, what often happens is after that end of the week, the use actually escalates and gets far worse.
Mm.
So that I wouldn't recommend.
Mm-hmm. Gerald Block is a Portland, Oregon-based psychiatrist who specializes in examining people and their relationships with technology. Thanks so much.
Thank you.